Today, we're going to look at this God that we're talking about, the maker of the universe. We're kicking off a new sermon series. If you got your listening guide, pull that out as a listening guide in everybody's program when you came in. And then also, pull out your Bibles. We'll be going through different scripture passages together. And we're in Hebrews, first one, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 4, one of my favorite passages. It's the theme verse for this whole series. Now, in our world today, to say that there's a lot of skepticism about belief in God would probably be an understatement. For thousands of years, governments have been trying to eradicate and remove God from everything from government to society and everything in between. And yet, why is it that we continue to desire and believe that there's an unknown power that we've not yet seen? A creator, a designer that is there for each and every one of us. Well, I can't prove to you or anybody else that there is a God in such a way that you would go, okay, I want to believe today. But I do believe that there's a ton of evidence out there. Evidence beyond, for me, beyond question. Scientific evidence that we're going to be looking at the next 5 weeks. Everything from astronomy to anatomy. And different things that as we look at, we see the fingerprint, the hand of God that's in our lives and in our world today. So that's what we're going to look at, all right? So let's look at Hebrews chapter 3, verse 4 to start with. I want you to read this out loud with me because this passage is easily memorized in just 3 minutes this morning. Here's what it said. Read it out loud. For every house has a builder, but the one who built everything is God. Say it one more time. Every house has a builder, but the one who built everything is God. Now, if that's true, then I believe God designed the body and the world to point to him through design. Now, I don't know if anybody in here an engineer, right? Okay, I studied for about 3 months. Okay, they call us pre-business at Tech, those of us that go there with the thought that we want to be engineers, and 3 months later, we decide that we're going to be business majors because we didn't like the math, and that was me, okay, and yet, one of the things about engineering that I liked was that, you know, everything has an answer. It's A plus B equals C, you know, whatever the calculation is, and I believe God designed it even in our world that if we will really study creation and the science that's there, we as believers in Christ do not have to be afraid of it, but we can be excited by it because I believe overwhelmingly it points to a creator, a designer that put his fingerprint on every part of creation. Today we're going to look at anatomy. We're going to look at how God designed our bodies in such a way that we can be confident in our faith when we say there's a designer, a creator. Now, today's first Sunday back with college students. Welcome back, college students. We're glad to have you here. We welcome you back. I love college students, the energy that comes with college students. And I know that in college, there could be some real challenges to your faith. There was for me when I came to Tech a couple years back. And there are those challenges even today. My son was in college class just recently, and he was sharing with me that the professor made no bones about it at the very beginning of the class. They asked if anybody believed in God, and he said he did, fortunately. And he said at that point the professor began to systematically try to tear down his faith and bring doubts into his mind. And the ludicrousy of believing that there's a creator, a designer that we've never seen. I have another friend of mine. He's a professor at a college, and he shared with me that he has a coworker who made it very clear in their staff meeting that his number one goal as professor, was to eradicate faith from the belief of his freshman class that came in. That he wanted to end this fable mindset of this fairy tale God that's out there. So I would ask you, do you have to like check your brain at the door to believe there's a God? Is it only intelligent people that believe there's no God? Do intelligent people even believe that there's a God? And I would say to you today, yes. And today we have a physician that you're going to get to hear from as we look at anatomy and how God has designed our system inside. And we're going to see that I believe that through the design of the body and the world that we can have confidence and even be bold in our faith that God is real. So let's go, Lord, in prayer and ask God to speak to us this morning. Lord, I just want to humble myself this morning, and I just want to ask that you would speak through me. God, I do see your fingerprint so much in creation. I do believe that you want us to lean into you and not be afraid to study science and physics and mathematics, because, God, I believe in all things, in all sciences, they all point to the fact that there is a creator, a designer, a chief architect, and that is you. And we praise you this morning, God, that you didn't just design us to exist, but you designed us to love, experience compassion, to have free will, to laugh, to joke, to be encouraged, and to be able to encourage others. And I pray today, Lord, that through my message, that people would be encouraged and refreshed, and Lord, that we'd all walk out here emboldened in our faith. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you got your Bibles? Go ahead and flip over again. We're going to start in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, we're going to start in verse 15. Colossians in the New Testament. Now, Colossians is a letter written by a guy named Paul. And Paul was one of the greatest apostles and leaders for Christ ever. And he would write these letters back to churches to encourage them. And so this is one of those letters. And the words will be on the screen as well. Here's what he said. He said, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds creation together. Well, the first thing on your listening guide is that intelligent people believe in an intelligent designer. Intelligent people can believe that there is an intelligent designer. Now, in no way do I mean that you're not intelligent if you don't believe in a creator. Some of the greatest minds today are still atheists. And I believe as followers of Christ, in all things, we need to show honor and respect to those who disagree with us in our beliefs. So one of the things that distresses me is when I watch videos of, there's a lot of great videos out there on evidence for God. There really are. You can, we'll talk about some of those. We'll give you some references going on. If you want to have fun, Google the word laminin, L-A-M-I-N-E-N, laminin. Great video by Louis Giglio on evidence for God. But sometimes I see people make these presentations, presenting evidence for God in a sarcastic way and mocking those who do not believe the same as they do. Mocking someone who would be an atheist or something. Folks, there should be no place for that in our lives as followers of Christ. We're called to love all people, whether they agree or disagree with us. We're called to love them with the love of Christ. So let me begin by affirming that and just saying, in this passage, Christ is the visible image of the invisible. I believe he literally created all things that we see, and he did it in such a way to leave a fingerprint for us so that we can give him the glory and the praise that he deserves. Now, I want you to meet Charlie. Charlie, come on up. Charlie's a local surgeon here in town, and he's got all the letters behind his name to allow him to cut on you legally, unlike myself. And I thought, you know what? If we're going to talk about some of these miraculous things, hey, bro.
Good to see you.
See you, man. Charlie's also in my 6 a.m. men's group that we get together. And that bottle's going to bother somebody. And so I wanted y'all to hear from someone who studied medicine. How many years did you study medicine, Charlie?
4 years of undergraduate, 4 years of medical school, and then I spent like 6 or 7 years in residency training to be a surgeon. So.
And that sounds like a long time, but I'm really glad they make you do that.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of important.
It's a good idea.
It is. It
worked
is.
Out well.
Yeah, yeah. And you also use that skill. You're in the military as well.
Yes.
And you practice locally and there.
here in Cookeville, and I've been overseas, served with the military a couple times. So.
Yeah. Now, just to pick on you a little bit, why do they call it practicing medicine?
Because it's never perfect.
Because you're always learning, right?
We're always learning. Things always change.
Yeah, yeah. And yet we've got the same bodies. And as you and I were talking about, just some of the crazy, miraculous stuff that goes on in our bodies and how God's designed it. What are some of the things that you see in the medical field that just point to a designer and a creator?
To start off with, just look at the creation of our human body and how we're designed and how all the organs and systems work together. There is no way that this just came out of randomness and nothingness.
Now, wait a minute, because there are a lot of people that would argue with you, right? There's a lot of people that would say that just over billions of years, we just came together because of gaseous explosions.
Sure. And, you know, if they say it came as a big bang, in my idea, that big bang was when God said, let it be.
And bang.
Bang, it happened.
Bang, it. Okay. Okay. Well, so tell us how those systems work together in such a way that you say it couldn't be random happenstance.
So medicine has come a long way. Medicine and specifically in the act of surgery. I mean, we can intervene in people's lives to treat diseases, to treat infections, to treat problems, to take bad things out, put good things in. Mm-hmm. But no matter what we do, there is always something going on behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, I mean, I can glue a cut shut, but underneath that super glue, the body is knitting the cells back together. Somehow that information is in those cells to allow them to grow, to reconnect, to repair injury.
So the body actually repairs itself.
Absolutely. For example, I mean, you've had blood drawn before, right?
I have, yes,
okay,
sir.
Okay, so we can take a liter of blood out of somebody and process it and give it to somebody who needs it in an emergency. But you know what? You're going to recreate that blood. I mean, your body is going to rebuild those blood cells.
That's pretty amazing.
It is.
I mean, that would be like if my car, like if I took oil out of my car, it would make more oil. And right. Then I could like be a Texas tycoon type guy because my car would make oil for me.
Right. Sure.
I mean, seriously, think about it. Why can't we design a car if we're so smart as people? Why can't we design a car that does what our bodies does? Our car can't recreate more oil, but our bodies, that's great. Our body makes more blood. Huh, cool.
Every day.
Okay. Well, what about you gave the example earlier of the kidney and the function of the kidney and how we can help, but we can't replace.
Sure. So, I mean, if you think about it, everybody has two kidneys, or most of us are born with two kidneys. You can live without one, but you can't live without them. The closest that man has come to replacing that organ, that kidney, is a machine that's probably the size of a small filing cabinet.
Okay.
But in order to make that work, we still have to draw the blood out, run it through the machine, and put it back in, okay? So in order to replace what your body is doing continuously every day, all day, you have to be tied to a machine a couple hours at a time, you know, anywhere from 3 to 5 days a week. And so while you and I can go out and play baseball and play basketball and our body is doing that function behind the scene, somebody whose kidneys have failed, they are tied to that machine in order to live.
Yeah.
Now, don't get me wrong. It's a great tool. It's a great piece of technology to help improve and preserve life. But no matter how smart we are, there is nothing that we can produce and create that will replace what God made.
Yeah. And what's amazing is that kidney, if you take it out, literally it's just a lump of flesh. And yet in that little lump of flesh, it performs a task that requires a file cabinet size of machinery to replace. That's just amazing. Now, Charlie, what would you say to folks who maybe they wrestle with their faith because they've been made to feel less than intelligent for believing in a creator? They've been made to feel like, you know what, you can't be very intelligent if you really believe that there's a God out there. Yeah,
and there are people that argue that point all the time. But my faith, my belief says, just look at the proof.
Yeah,
I mean, look at nature. Look at the way the human body is designed. There again, people argue evolution. yes, you know, we came from monkeys or we came from this and that. Mm-hmm. There's no way that we, in the history that we know that is written and recorded, there's no way that this just happened spontaneously.
Right. Well, how about the crazy amazingness of the eyeball and the ear and the way that it all coordinates with the brain? It's like it's got this one massive computer system in our head that it all works together at the same time. I mean, to coordinate, as you talked about surgery, I mean, the healing that takes place afterwards. I mean, the way the heart works with the blood and pumps the blood. And I mean, would you ever look at your automobile and go, that thing must have been just happened in my driveway?
Bang. It's a big bang theory, right?
Exactly. But for you as a surgeon, how can you share a word of encouragement with all of us? How can you help us, you know, as we wrestle with this science and believing that, you know what, God is real? How can you help us understand one more thing?
Again, just take encouragement that there are mounds and mounds of science and technology and knowledge. Right now, I think we're probably at the pinnacle of science and technology. We know more now about the human body, about the physiology that goes on behind the scenes than we have ever known before.
Yeah.
But no matter what, we still cannot recreate some of the things. We can copy, we can clone, we can reproduce, but we still have to start with what God made.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, we can only take what's there and work with it. I think you had a story that you like telling.
Oh, okay. So, science joke. So these two scientists were talking about how advanced their science were, and saying, you know what, you know, we can create so much with DNA and cloning and mm-hmm. copying. You know, I think we can have an argument with God and replace God. And so God comes down and talks to them and says, sure, okay, let me hear your story. And so they said, you know what, it's kind of like name that tune. They said, we think we can recreate life with three things: earth, water, and air. And God thinks about it for a second and says, okay, I'll take that challenge. So they huddle again together and said, all right, so earth, water, and air, we're going to do this, and we're going to prove that we don't need God, and we're going to replace you. And he says, okay, you're on. And so the guy bends down to pick up a scoop full of dirt, and the God says, you make your own dirt.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
It all come from somewhere.
Amen. All right. Well, Charlie, thank you so much. And I just hope and pray that by hearing from Charlie, and you'll hear from four or five other professionals over the next 4 or 5 weeks that are professionals, that they've studied, they're intelligent, obviously, to be able to do what they do in surgery. You've got to study for 13 years.
A long time.
And so the next time somebody tries to convince you that only fools believe in God, you can know that's not true. Let's give it up. Thanks, Charlie.
Thank you.
Good job.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, I do believe that God gave us this evidence that there is a creator and a designer. I believe the body is part of that. Augustine, a philosopher from over 1,000 years ago, said this: men go abroad to wonder at the height of mountains, the huge waves of the sea, its long course of rivers, the vast compass of the ocean, the circular motion of the stars, but they pass by themselves and don't even notice. The complexity of our bodies is amazing, and it is a testimony to God, but it still takes faith. That's the second thing. If you've got your listening guide, look at number two. Number two, there's an element of faith in our belief in God. Because you cannot see and touch God, there's still that point where you've got to take a leap, where you've got to take a step of faith and say, I'm going to believe in what I can't see, feel, or touch because of what I do see in the world, what I do feel in my heart, and what I can touch with my mind. And this leap of faith is described in Hebrews 11. You want to flip over to Hebrews. Hebrews in the New Testament also. It's a book that's written to the Jewish people, thus Hebrews, one of the names that they call the Jews. Hebrews 11:1 talks about this kind of faith that it takes to believe. In Hebrews 11:1, it says this. It says, faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. Through their faith, the people in days of old earned a good reputation. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. It was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain did. Abel's offering gave evidence that he was a righteous man, and God showed his approval of his gifts. Although Abel is long dead, he still speaks to us by his example of faith. It was by faith that Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. He disappeared because God took him. For before he was taken up, he was known as a person who pleased God. Now, verse 6, you want to underline. It is impossible to please God without faith. It's impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. So this leap of faith is required to follow God. Sometimes I meet people and they say to me things like, well, I believe in God. Okay, but do you know him? Have you taken the leap of faith to build a relationship with him? Well, I believe in a higher power, or I believe in a designer of the universe. Well, that's good. That's the first step. But there comes a point where you've got to take a leap of faith to believe with your heart, soul, mind, and strength that God is who he says he is and that he does what he says he'll do. That he is the creator and the designer of the universe, and he's also the savior of this world. That's the leap of faith that it takes. In this passage, he's telling us it's impossible to please God without faith. Now, we put faith in a lot of things. We really do. You don't even think about it every day. When you go to sit in a chair, you have faith that whoever built that chair built it in a way that it's not going to fall when you sit on it, right? You have faith when you get in the car that whoever designed your car designed it so that the steering is connected to the front wheels, right? You have faith in the doctor that when you go in and he says, yep, looks like that kidney's got to come out, you're really putting a lot of faith in him that he actually went to school and studied to know that he called it a kidney and not a heart and he doesn't pick out the wrong part, right? We put faith in things all the time. God is asking we put faith in him. Faith to believe that he is who he says he is, that he can do what he says he will do. And my hope is, if you want to flip over a couple books back to Romans, Romans is before Hebrews in the Bible. In Romans chapter 1, 16 and 17, Paul wants to encourage us to be able to be bold in our faith. I think for many of us, this is where we struggle. I told you my son in the college class that he was in, and I asked him, I said, well, son, what did all the other students in class say? He said, Dad, nobody else even admitted to believe that there was a God. And there are like 25 students in this class. Now, I would bet that if you polled those kids, I bet if you polled them individually, or at least in their local churches that they may have gone to growing up, I would bet at least half of them would believe that there's a God. But the pressure of the world telling us we are fools to believe that there's a creator is great. And will we have the boldness where we work, where we live, where we play, where we go to school, will we have the boldness to be the person that will stand up and say, there is truth, there is a God, there is a creator and a designer. Here's what it says in Romans 1:16. Paul says, for I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Gentile. This good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. As the scriptures say, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. Faith doesn't mean that you don't have doubts. Faith means that you believe anyway. Let me just ask for an honest show of hands. Is there anybody in here, and I'm raising my own hand, that has ever doubted the existence of God? If so, please raise your hand. Okay, look around. You're not alone, okay? All right, it's natural. It doesn't mean you're a bad Christian. Doesn't mean you're a bad person. Because we can't see, feel, and touch God next to us all the time, we can't turn off the brain that says, I can believe in this table because I can see, feel, and touch it. But I can't see, feel, and touch God, okay? So for me, I'd been a pastor for about 5 years, maybe four. Went through a bit of a tough spell, and it's like the devil started sending these nagging questions in my mind. What if you're wasting your time as a pastor? You've got a business degree. Why don't you go back to business? Why don't you just quit this? Because really, what if everything you've believed and taught, what if it's all a lie? What if there is no God? What if you die and that's it and you're done? And I was battling these doubts. And of all things for me, the answer came through a PBS special. It was a one-hour special by Honda. And Honda had this one-hour television special. They were celebrating the fact that they had invented a robot that could now navigate stairs. And they were, it was very scientific. I mean, I was interested in the technology and everything. But basically, they said they spent hundreds of thousands of hours and millions of dollars because they believe that the human robot servant in the home is the next big automobile that's going to be out there. It's going to be the next big financial boom to technology industry. And they were celebrating the fact that after all these engineers and scientists had worked so long, they hadn't been able to give the robot balance, but they had been able to give him at least enough that he could navigate stairs that were straight up and down. Now that robot still can't do this or this, you know. The robot's never going to be a ballet specialist because somehow in this amazing body God has given us, we have this thing called equilibrium. And we could do all this balance stuff that just comes natural. You don't even have to think about it. How many of you have ever tried to play that game as a kid? You know, you walk along the 2x4, you know. How many of you ever had to say to your brain, brain, I need you to give me balance. Brain, I need you to make sure I don't fall. You didn't even have to tell your brain, did you? Because God has wired it in here. It's a miracle. And literally, when I saw that show, everybody else may have been excited about a robot that went up and down stairs. But what the Lord spoke to my heart about was, Steve, look at your hands. Look at what you can do with your hands. Robots can't do that. They were talking about the next thing was they wanted to be able to give a robot tactile abilities so that a robot could pick up the paperclip, because a robot can't do that. But you and I can. And it was like the Lord just said to me, my son, don't you realize that all the greatest engineers and scientists have been working for years and they still only have a poor replica of who you are as a person? And literally at that moment, I was like, you know what, God, you are right. How could I dare ascribe all that glory to Honda for their achievements and believe without blinking an eye that it took engineers and scientists years and hundreds of thousands, probably millions and millions of dollars? How could I dare believe that it required all that for that robot and not believe that there's an engineer and an architect and a designer of this body? And I settled then that day, and I can honestly say since that day I've never doubted. Not because I'm perfect, but because it's like the Lord just showed me so clearly how awesome he is in his abilities, all in the design of the body. So I'm no longer ashamed. Nobody can make me feel stupid for believing that there's a creator of the universe, a creator of my body. As Hebrews 3:4 says, as every house has a builder, so God is the builder of everything. Well, what's the next point? Number three, for those who don't believe, it too is a leap of faith. This is why I say we need to show respect to those who are atheists. We need to realize that it is hard to believe, and if folks didn't grow up with someone praying for them and loving them and pointing them to Christ, and they've heard all their life that there is no God, it's a bigger leap of faith for them to believe. To move from atheism to belief in Christ is a huge leap. But let me tell you, I feel sorry in the fact that they really have to have faith in something that makes no sense. And here's what I mean. No one that came in this building today looked at this building and said, oh, wow, over billions of years, the metal and the air conditioning unit and the lights and the exit signs just all came together and made this really neat place to come and worship. Because the mind says naturally when you see a building, there was a builder, right? In the same way, when we see one another and we see the complexity of our bodies, the mind tells us there's a creator. And we have to shut that off and reject that voice of truth to be an atheist. And so if you're here today and you are an atheist, I want to challenge you. Open your mind. Open your mind to the beauty that you see around you and the design and the architecture and the engineering and the science that went into your physical body. I've got a couple other nuggets. These are great. Some other amazing things about the Bible that you may not know. Check this out. Did you know there's 40 muscles in the face alone? They all work in a way. Your jaw has, was it 400 pounds per square inch? Oh, I had that one. So that was a good number too. Your jaw has this power to crush things and eat things. Is it a mere accident that the jaw's in the right place to receive food, chew it up, and send it down a digestive tract that happens to be in the right place to digest the food and break it down? And then you got the kidney in there to take care of the important business. And you got the bowels it's not a coincidence, folks, to believe that all that came together by accident. That is a bigger leap of faith to believe it just smashed together at one time. And oh, by the way, how in the world do you get around the fact that you have to have male and female for the human species? And if it evolved, how did it evolve at the exact same time so that they could procreate? Do you see all the facts that you have to ignore in science to believe that we all just don't have a creator? There's so many. And for us as followers of Christ, we need to be the ones that are willing to show that the truth with love. So here's some more things. The biggest muscle, who knows what the biggest muscle is in the body? The gluteus maximus. That's right. So anytime somebody says, hey, you want to go work out? Just sit down and say, I'm working my biggest muscle. Boom. Okay, that's the biggest muscle you got. How many chemical reactions are going on in your brain every second? According to scientists, 100,000 chemical reactions occur every second in our brain. There are so many things going on. Think about it. Your brain is giving instructions to breathe and you don't even think about it. Your brain is giving instructions to your heart to pump and you don't even think about it. My brain right now is telling me to walk as I'm talking and put my hands out there and I don't even think about it. I don't have to say, brain, give me a preaching position. You know, I mean, my brain will just do stuff, 100,000 things per second, and I don't even think about it. Here's an example. Okay, I got a football. Okay. All right, can I get a volunteer? Oh, okay, come on out here. I got a volunteer. They all pointed at you. Come on. All right. Now, who's doing the aw? Okay, those were the people that were here 5 years ago when I knocked a guy out with this, okay? Hey, don't laugh. It was a sensitive subject at the time. Let me tell you. I tell you what, I went to show it, and I had him in the very back, and I was trying to show off that I could get it to the back, and I went to throw, and my shirt sleeve caught my arm at the last second, and this guy on about the fifth row with glasses. I mean, he had glasses. I literally bust him in the side of the face. The glasses went flying, and across the whole room, you could hear this. Nobody remembers what I preached on, but everybody remembers the poor guy that got nailed in the glass. Okay, so I purposely chose the middle of the road this time, so if I hit somebody, nobody's got glasses in the front. So as I go to throw this, see how easy that was? Okay, throw back. All right, go ahead and pull the seat. Give me a hand. Is that simple? How many times did you have to tell your brain, how many times did you tell your brain, instruct my hands to catch a football? Did you have to tell your brain that? It just happened, didn't it? It's a miracle. Your brain literally tells your body what to do and you don't even have to think about it. That's how unbelievable the body is. It is a creation that we all wish our computers would be. Don't you wish you could sit down in front of your computers and it just gets the note that it should type out that paper for you that you forgot to do? Really? I mean, I wish my computer would just have that dictionary downloaded. And even though I can't never get T-H-E-R-E or T-H-E-I-R, and who invented those words so close to each other, who cares? It's like, but don't you wish your brain could just kind of make that happen on paper without you having to do anything about it? Your brain can, but the computer can't. Okay? So amazing. How about this one? The speed of your sneeze is 160 kilometers per hour. Do not put a two-year-old in front of your sneeze. It could be dangerous. 160 kilometers per hour. Your ears are the one part of your body that keep on growing throughout your lives with almost unbelievable speed. A quarter of a millimeter per year. Just think, if you lived to 500, you'd be dragging the ground. Okay? The heartbeat's 35 million times a year. 35 million. Every day, the human body loses about 1 million skin cells and reproduces the same at the same rate. Do you realize that? I mean, we were talking earlier, and just how many of you donate blood, right? I went in just last week. You slap your arm real good, get that vein to pop out. They stick a needle in, they pull it out. And within like 3 minutes, it stops bleeding. You don't have to like get a needle out and repair that hole. It just fixes itself. How many of us would love to have tires on our car that every time we run over a nail, they just fix themselves? Our body is amazing. Okay, and we'll close with this one here. Over the course of just one day, our blood runs the distance of 19,312 kilometers. So no wonder you're tired at the end of the day. Your blood. Somebody says, why are you tired? You haven't done anything all day. My blood has run 19,000 kilometers today. It's exhausting. So, this body is a walking miracle. Your body is a walking miracle. It is designed by God Almighty with a purpose and a plan, and you can walk with confidence into your school, your work, and your relationships with your friends and your family, knowing that you are not a fool if you believe that there's a creator of this universe. It does take faith, but that faith is supported by science. The last thing is that belief leads to conviction, which leads to surrender. Romans 10, 9 through 13 says this. Says, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. As the scriptures tell us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Jew and Gentile are the same in this respect. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call upon him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. My hope for you today is that you'll receive this good news. My hope for you today is that you'll realize that this designer that took the time, by the way, God loves you so much, he gave you taste buds. Everything could taste like white rice, but he gave you taste buds to determine the difference between steak and chicken and rice and seafood. I mean, isn't it amazing? That's how much God loves you. He could have made procreation occur through a handshake, but he didn't. God's a good God. He loves you. He designed you. He created you for relationships, first and primary with him, and then secondarily with those around you. Do you know him today? I invite you to bow your head with me. For some of you here today, you are followers of Christ, and I hope and pray that the Lord just spoke encouragement over you in this message. To know that you know that you know that God is real, and that you'll put those doubts behind you. But for others of you here, you haven't yet had a time in your life where you gave your whole life over to God. Maybe it was this issue here. Maybe it was a lack of belief in a creator as a whole. And maybe you're not ready, but keep coming back for 4 more weeks. We're going to keep looking at different areas of science that point to Christ, that point to a creator. But maybe you're here today and God is speaking your heart. The Bible says that the Lord draws us to him with his loving kindness. If you're here today and you've never given your life to God, but he's speaking to you today saying, today is your day, then don't put it off another day. Call out to him as the creator and the designer of faith. Call out to him in faith and give your life to him. If God's speaking to your heart and mind right now, then pray this prayer to the Lord and to yourself, following after me now. Dear God, today I want to give you my whole life. Lord, I believe that you are the creator, and I am your creation. I also believe, God, that you love me, and that through Christ, you have forgiven me. So today I receive that forgiveness, and I commit my life to you. I surrender. Lord, I pray that you would help me, and that in you I would grow so that I can help others know of your glory and goodness too. Pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.